Hello and welcome to Due South by Southeast. I'm Detective Squee. I'm just recording this quick little intro just to explain. During this record, which was months ago, and I've been meaning to re-record an intro so I can explain, but just got round to it now. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Basically, what happened was, while we were recording, there was a power cut on the lights, like one of the trips switched on the lights. And while that was off, I was trying to move something, and I accidentally nudged a wire, which meant that during the record, for about 10 minutes, there was a kind of buzz, which was all you could hear. You couldn't hear mine or Mountie Michelle's or Willow's barks or either of our voices. So yeah, what I've done is I've just cut out that segment. We do go back over some stuff. I think probably went over more stuff than we needed to, but there we go, given how long the buzzing was for, but we didn't know how long it had been buzzing for. But anyway, this is a clean version, but there will be just a weird cut whereby the lights will go out. It'll look like I'm going towards a wire, and then the lights will be on suddenly, and I'm at the same wire, kind of pushing it back in, essentially. So, that having been said, please enjoy this edition of Due South by Southeast, now in a slightly less painful on the ears version. Thank you very much. Sorry, I should say, thank you kindly. Now here's over to that week. Now here's over to the episode. Pardon me.
I'm Tony Greg. I play Jack Hillary on Due South.
I am Catherine Bruyere.
Hey everyone, this is Ramona Milano, otherwise known as Francesca Vecchio.
This is Paul Haggis.
This is Paul Gross, and you're listening to Due South by Southeast. Thank you kindly.
I wish this podcast would carry me away. But while talking to Squeak and Michelle, get a word in edgeways. Record over a bottle of rum on a dock of Southampton Bay. Hey, Due South, that is what we're talking about. Due South. Saddle up my microphone, get deep in Baker Bone.
South by Southeast. Hello and welcome to Due South by Southeast. We're as organized as ever, as you can tell. We're back, baby! And back in the red. Guys, wow, it has been, we don't know how many months. All I know is the last episode of Due South by Southeast is still to go up on the audio version because I just realized I never uploaded it when I was preparing for this episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am Detective Squee. With me as always is, of course, Willow in the corner there.
You can't really see her.
From our new log cabin here. And I swear there's something I'm forgetting. Of course, it is. Every little infant diminutive. Oh, God. We almost lost her under the table. It's Mountie Michelle.
I mean, I'm smaller than normal. Oh. I mean, normally when I'm on this, I'm small. But now I feel like I'm almost small and in the distance. I feel like you're trying to ease me out of the door on this or something. It's like, slowly get her out of the podcast, make her smaller and further away each time. Is this your
Michelle,
plan?
No, Michelle.
Is this your plan?
I'm sorry. I feel guilty that I did this to you. You know what? I bought you, as a little, sorry, an individual bottle of Pepsi Max. It's one of those little ones that you give people. There you go. It's an individual bottle. It's just by her head, so it looks like it's huge. It looks like a 2 liter, but it's or 1.5, but it's individual.
I mean, would anyone else tolerate this from you?
Sorry, can you speak up? You're a long way away down there.
We're back, baby!
We do understand that we've sprung this on people. Honestly, there were a few times recently when we very almost did a due South by Southeast. Yes. We have really missed it. I can't say how much. But life got in the way. First of all, Michelle, talk about like just some of the stuff which happened to you over the last God knows how many months.
I mean, to be honest, I think for both...
Mostly work.
Yeah, for me, I think mostly it's been a lot of stuff going on at work, but there's also been family and tragedies in my family. Oh, God, there's been tragedies in your family. It's... Oh, I think unfortunately both of us have kind of gone through a lot since our last upload. There's been so much that's happened to us personally. Yeah. Most of it not good.
I mean, I can give a recent prezi of the last just 3 months for me. Within that time, I broke my arm and had to have it in, not in a cast, but in a sling, just as I was moving. I got COVID just before the move, so I had everything planned so people were going to come around, including Michelle, and help me pack stuff and move, and I got COVID, so I just got over it. Excuse me, which I am over, I swear. But I just got over it in time for everyone to come around and help me move, like pack stuff that weekend, because otherwise I don't know how I was going to get through, because my housemates were already moving or moved out, and so it was going to cost me just to live there on my own. And it was nightmare times, but that worked out. But just before that, we had, just right before I moved, my guinea pig had to be put down, which was very sad. So RIP, Bowie Shaw, may you be under less pressure up there with your brother Mercury. So Bowie and Mercury are reunited in heaven, much like their namesakes. And funnily enough, Mercury died when he was fairly young. And Bowie got to live on and died. I think if you work it out in human years, probably the equivalent between when Mercury and Bowie died in their human counterparts, it wouldn't be that much dissimilar, which is kind of a funny similarity. But I guess the thing which I'm trying to delay talking about, because it's difficult, is that there was one day amongst all this stuff, and there was a job which I started, which I had to quit, which is difficult. And I quit drinking for 2 months, and then life happened. But there was one day when in the morning, in the evening, I'll tell you, my uncle passed away, and I got that call, let me know that, and I found out that. But in the morning of that day, I got a call letting me know that Dottie, who was at the time, Dottie, as a lot of people know, my constant companion through all my podcast adventures, and she'd had a bit of a funny tummy, and she was with my ex-wife at the time, because as many of you know, especially if you're regular listeners, she spent She spent 1 week with my ex-wife, 1 week with me, on and off. And it was just a lovely way of us all getting to be part of her life, and Dottie having so many homes and so many places which loved her, and it was just wonderful. And I got the call saying she was ill, and I knew with her medical history of having bad stomachs, and then they think there was a tumor there as well, which, well, they pretty much confirmed. I knew this was probably going to be it. And then I was, invited. I was called in to come around because Claire, my ex-wife, was already there with Dottie. And I came around, and what I've always said about Dottie is that if I looked in her eyes, I kind of knew what she wanted. She could communicate anything to me with those eyes, whether it's joy, disapproval, like stop shouting at the boy one, I love my boy, about my son Stuart or Amy. It's like whatever it was, if like someone was in any upset, any discomfort, any good times, she always felt it, and she was always there with you no matter what you were feeling. And so all I really needed to do that morning, when I was given the information that she was very ill, and it was up to us what we wanted to do. Did we want to try an operation which might save her life, but would probably cause a lot of pain to her, probably ultimately wouldn't save her life, it might just prolong it a little bit if we're lucky, or did I want to say goodbye to her? And I looked in her eyes, and Dottie very clearly communicated it was time. And I'm sorry to go so deep, we're here to have a good time, to have some fun, and we will do in a minute, but Every time I did a podcast, right from the very first podcast I ever did, which was with my ex-wife called Better Half, which Michelle kind of co-hosted with sometimes, lost about 10, it was just under 20 episodes, I believe it was actually, which kind of taught me a little something about podcasting. Then I went on to do Gallifrey Stands, which is going to come back for 3 special episodes around the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. On that, I made Dottie my co-host, and it was kind of a joke thing because it was like the first few episodes, it was just me talking about the Ninth Doctor Adventures and the one series which he did, and I did in 3 episodes. It was just me talking to the microphone, and Dottie was there as my co-host, the joke being that Dottie, as much as he was a constant companion, as much as doing a podcast with her to sort of talk to was wonderful, she never barked. So having a dog which doesn't bark on an audio podcast, which didn't have video at the time, was hilarious to me. So it was just really great, and it just gave me the confidence to do it and just to talk to myself. But I knew she was there. And there was a kind of joke thing that when she was there doing the podcast, I joked on the podcast one day that, I always say, like, I'm Dr. Squee, and with me is Dottie Who. But you never hear Dottie because she doesn't bark. And then several wrote in and said, yeah, we hear her. She snores on every episode because you could hear her snoring in the background of some of the best interviews I did with Graham Good of Dr. Who, as well as just episodes where it's just me talking to myself. That was wonderful. So when I started Due South by Southeast, back then it was you and me, Michelle, and it was always with Dottie. And later on, Nicola joined us for a while. And just throughout my journey as a podcaster, Dottie was there. And it was wonderful. And it made all the difference. So we raise our glasses. We give a canine mini Mountie Diefenbaker salute to Dottie. Cheers, Michelle.
Cheers.
Michelle, just for a second, she's just got a short.
I will top my drink up, don't you worry.
To Dottie Baker, as we called her.
To Dottie Baker.
On this podcast. Anyway, we move forward, we move on. We now have Willow, who is our new canine attaché. I think she needs a rank or something because we had Dottie Baker.
Yes.
Mind you, to be honest, is there a Willow Baker? Like her? The thing is, there is a new, we did notice very specifically in this episode, it's very notable, they've moved to the second Diefenbaker, which is Draco.
Yeah.
But we need some sort of pun which includes Willow in it.
We're going to have to get thinking on that, I think.
Okay, if you've got any suggestions, please do write in. Honestly, we would love it if someone from the Due South by Southeast
named
Willow for this podcast, because she's always been here, but we're not really, because, you know, we start in this one, and Willow's now ready to take center stage, much like actually, God, this is a perfect timing because as Elaine moves on in this episode, which we're going to talk about tonight, which is, of course, we haven't said it, but it's I could have been a defendant.
Yes,
as we talk about this episode, as Elaine moves on and Franny takes over from her, we've got Willow
taking
as,
over
as our beloved Dottie moves on. So pretty some lovely symmetry here on Due South by Southeast. Sorry, I knew I was going to get a bit emotional talking about this. And thank you very much for allowing me a few minutes.
I think it's been quite kind of tough in a way, kind of coming back to this. It's been a long time. And I think a lot has kind of happened for both of us in our personal lives since we did our last one, with losing pets, losing family. There's been a lot going on, so I think it's quite emotional for both of us, I think, kind of coming back. And
I mean, I've said, like, since I had last month, and a lot's happened to me, I don't feel like the same as I did as a person. It sounds really kind of wanky and stuff, and I apologize a little bit, but at the same time, it's like, it's about just moving forward and about kind of like, it's not about trying to be who you were before. When you go through life and experiences, you do become someone new. And you've got to move forward as who you are now. And that's the kind of spirit I'm going forward in. So I don't know. I felt like there might be a different energy to Due South by Southeast now. I feel like genuinely, as we've been doing this, and it's like, because we have had a break, I feel like it's a good moment to sort of almost take stock a little bit. And I think that it has changed. Like when we first did it, we were fairly young. That's changed for a start. Some are smaller than others, I'll be honest.
I still feel very young.
But it's like, I do feel like we used to joke about, and like, I mean, obviously we still joke about, that's the point of this, but we used to like get so drunk we were falling asleep recording the episode sometimes. Literally,
we literally did, didn't we?
We each fell asleep on different episodes. There was even one where we both fell asleep. The edit on that one was a nightmare.
Yeah, we did.
And I think we're a bit more grown up than that now. Not by much, but it is different. It's different doing it in our mid-40s and Michelle just entering her 40s.
Yes, I am a baby entering my 40s.
Yeah. Kids. So yeah, it's an interesting time for Due South, but Due South by Southeast, sorry, but an important one and a time which we relish very much. And thank you very much for joining us once again. There's one person watching live. God bless you. Whoever you are, please drop a comment. We'd love to hear.
Let us know who you are. That would be lovely.
And
to
please
know.
Don't get scared off because I mentioned you. But Michelle, I think we need to start doing some orders business. So let's start with this one.
Yo-ho-ho, we're getting drunk as hell. Tell me what rum are we drinking, Michelle?
And I should say,
by the way... Oh, I thought
we
were going to go, eh? Eh? I did it and it didn't happen.
Oh, 3, 2, 1.
Eh?
By the way, guys, we are going to actually record some videos of those stings because I don't know why I haven't. Like we've just started doing videos. And we've been doing them for so long and there's no reason.
So long, yeah.
By the way, just a little teaser before Michelle tells us what rum we're drinking. Today was the first conversation had about the next Squee Fest. So usually by now in September, we've done a Squee Fest. As I say, life got in the way, but I kind of purposely had planned not to do a Squee Fest this year originally because I was going to do some writing on something, but that went by the wayside a little bit. But I also wanted to sort of change the time when we did Squee Fest to a sort of like a more February time, because that's... Usually, to be honest with you, there's a lot of people going off and doing weddings in September. And genuinely, I lost so many guests to weddings or summer events that doing February is probably a time when people are a bit home more. So we're going to raise some wonderful money for another charity. It's going to be a little bit different, the format, and we've got some plans, and it's going to be very exciting. But we're going to, as always, put in some Due South by Southeast content, if not some celebrity interviews, maybe with someone from Due South. I've kind of got some ideas for that. But it's going to be a good time. So look out for Squeefest 5 or 5 Queefest, because, you know, you make the S into a 5.
Okay.
5 Queefest doesn't sound like something else.
No comment, but maybe you think about what you want to...
5 Queefest.
I'd think on that one if I were you.
Okay. Anyway, Michelle. I'm sorry, we
distracted. I'm so sorry for the distraction, but I've just got a message from the lady that we bumped into in the shop earlier on. When we went to the shop and we were buying our snacks, we bumped into a lady that I haven't seen.
Oh, yeah, you're all there.
I've literally just got a message from her now, so that was why I was
like... Not housemate, but...
Yeah, she used to live...
She was in the same block.
Yeah, she used to live below me. And yeah, anyway, that's the thing. We don't need to get into it.
Anyway, yeah. So, Michelle, what rum are we drinking?
We are drinking. So, yeah, today we went...
So we had some Captain Morgan, so we did keep to some of the old classics.
We did. Yeah, we had a little bit of a classic Caspian of... I don't know why I'm calling Caspian.
We were in the shop and you said, hey, we're doing Due South for the first time in a long time. We're going to get some new booze.
We need something different. So what we have got...
What if it's also broadcast starting soon? We've been on for ages now.
Yeah, I don't know.
20 minutes, Michelle.
Yeah. Anyway, so we didn't go for anything like special, but we've gone for something different that we haven't had before. and I want to read you what it says on here. Rich and vibrant. Got me straight away. Pineapple rums in, it says spirit drink.
I knew it. These nurses, they're all rich. They admit it now.
We're just so rich. That's why we went on strike, because we're so rich we just didn't want to work for a while. Yeah.
Braverman was right.
I don't know if you can really, yeah.
No, said no one ever, by the way.
That's the one. Yeah, so it's a rum pineapple spirit drink. We've had a drink from it. It's actually really nice.
And I know
it's really nice
backwards, but I hate it when it reverses the angle and I feel like my head looks weird. Honestly, it puts my head the other way and I've got an asymmetrical head. Most of us do to some degree, but I've got like,
not me. I'm perfect,
and it really freaks me out.
Yeah, I'm perfect, so it doesn't affect me.
Anyway, so we're drinking that one.
Yeah, it's a pineapple-y rum drink. Lovely.
Yeah, it's nice. Lovely. I mean, very strong measures they seem to pour out. I mean, the bottle.
That might itself. Just be us pouring strong measures.
Sorry, us. But... us
me it might just be it might be, it. Yeah, okay, it's me. I'm pouring strong measures, but that's what I do, and if he doesn't know that by now, then that's his fault.
No, I knew. I just forgotten how vicious they could be.
Yeah,
talk for a second.
Oh, come on. Yeah, here you go. You're leaving me to it. You know I don't talk very well. It would be really nice, actually.
No, I don't talk very well.
I don't talk very well.
That's an admission, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't talk good on our podcast. But what would be lovely? Oh, do you know what? We've got two viewers now. Someone's just tuned in as I'm talking. Someone has tuned in.
Don't worry, you'll put them off. Whoever's watching, don't worry.
We will be back down to one very shortly, I'm sure. But it would be lovely to hear from you. Yeah. So whoever has tuned in, they've gone. I mean, can you blame them, really?
Again, we are expecting more viewers. Like, I hope some people watch this back.
You left me to talk. We've lost a viewer already. That's all I'm saying.
I'm ready to go to the next bloody feature.
I think we should.
And thank you, yes. To Blaine Garrison.
Thank you, Blaine.
Yes. Our jingles there, we do appreciate it. So we got Mini Mountain Club. So Michelle, whoop. God, what number are we up to in Mini Mountain Club?
Oh, it's a good number. It's a good number. Let me get my phone.
Oh, it's a lovely number, is it?
Oh, it's a good one.
It's a very it's nice a good number. One.
We're up to,
oh, it's very nice.
It's number. 139, I want to say, but I am going to double check that because I wrote it down. I took a picture. That is my, I'm just looking, it's, yeah, 130 we're up to. So whoever you're going to add is going to be 131.
Whoop, whoop. So they wrote to say on the David Marciano interview,
ooh.
David is great. Sorry, the signal was so bad. Yeah, unfortunately, we had a bad signal when we recorded the interview. That did suck, but it was really lovely of him to talk to us. And I would actually recommend with that one, check out the audio version because I've edited it down. We got to the crux of the bits we actually managed to get to talk about. There's none of the delays and stuff, so it is worth checking out the audio version. Thank you for watching. I absolutely sure will watch Interview with Paul and David again. Ray Baker is one of my favorite characters. Hope for the reboot. And I did say that we would include her in the next regular episode we do. So please add as many Munch Club number
131.
131, we have Maria Saniva 4230. I will spell that M-A-R-I-N-A S-I-N-E-V-A 4230. And I'm spelling out for the list, not just giving you a random spelling lesson on this particular person's handle on YouTube. But welcome to Mini Mountie Club.
Welcome.
And to think, when we started this, we just wanted to get to 100.
Yeah, 131 right now. So
we're barely
welcome.
Yeah, I think we can get to 200 by the last episode.
Easy,
by the way, we're
easy,
up to two viewers
easy,
again.
Easy.
Whoever you are viewing, whoop, please whoop. Drop us a comment. We just want to say hi to people.
Just say hi. You can say hi and then go. It'd just be nice to say hello.
I mean, don't go ideally.
I mean, yeah,
I
mean, stay if you want, but.
I mean, it's not going to be worth it. What, Michelle? Come on. Sell it better. Yeah, so we're glad for our new Mini Mountie. And by the way, if you are watching, you have to do nothing to be a Mini Mountie Club. There is no consequence to it. Basically, you just get added to a list and we go, hey, we got another one in Mini Mountain Club. It's sort of like when they used to do the TV shows where they had kids shows and they goes, oh, it's Prospector Pete. Who's in the club this week? Nugget. You know.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah, it's certainly like that. Yeah. Anyway, that's Mini Mountain Club. So we've done what one we're drinking. We've done the Mini Mountain Club. We don't have to do best moments of the week until later in the episode. So, Michelle. Tell us about the episode we're going to be talking about this week.
I should crack open my notes. credits.
Oh, did you look up who directed and wrote it?
No, I didn't do it. When do I ever do any of that?
No, neither do I, but I'm going to do it now.
Yeah.
You go and talk about it.
That would be awesome. So the episode that we watched today was I Could Have Been a Defendant.
Nice punny name. We like that.
Yeah, we like that. So I think that was episode 3, was it?
Episode, 3 of, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the third episode. So we've got the new Ray, which we're liking.
So if you're listening to this on the podcast, you listened to that last week when I actually got around to putting it up from months ago.
Yeah.
How are you finding new Ray? Because it's newer to you because you never watched these episodes.
Yeah, I never actually watched the ones with the new Ray. And I'm liking them. I think because of the first episode that he was in when everything was kind of like very weird, but then very kind of explained, I've managed to move on. I'm all right. I'm going with it now.
You learn to.
I'm going with it. I quite enjoy this new Ray. That's fine. And we've still got our old characters and that's all good. So I'm all right with it.
And this one directed by Jim Kaufman and writer Jeff King. Jeff King, a dynamo G-South writer. I believe he's written on quite a few prior to this and going forward. I think he was a big writer in the later series, if I remember correctly. I might be wrong on that. Please do let me know if I am. This is one of my favorite ones. This is those earlier ones with this new Ray, I think, are really good. I think there's a definite, you can feel a difference that, like a moment, which we'll talk about in a bit, but this moment where... Benny flips around a flagpole 3 times and then goes flying through the air and lands on his feet. You can tell there is a broader humor to these series. Not that I get that at all. I must admit, I do. My favorite probably are the earlier episodes with the original Ray, but these new ones, I'm glad they went in a. It's still due south, but it's playful off a bit more and it kind of does take it in a new direction, which. To be honest with you, especially when you're having someone taking over from another character, if you do exactly the same as before, it doesn't give it as much legs for the future. I think they've done kind of what they did with Cheers with Sam Diana, or Diane, sorry. And then when she moved on, they brought in Kirstie Alley, and it was a very different character, and they went in a different direction for it. And I think it benefited that show, and I think in a similar way, this does as well. So I'm glad they make a big swing. And we were talking about this just very quickly, but about how me and Michelle first bonded over G-South. We've talked about this past on the show, but it just I think the fact that we had a bit of a gap on the show made me think of that. And how cool that was. Like some of the earlier conversations were about G-South, and here we are years later talking about episodes which Michelle never watched back in the day. And that's really cool.
You know what? It's quite funny because
sorry,
we were at a comedy show earlier on, and we were asked like how long we've actually known each other, and you know, you don't tend to kind of think about that stuff, but when someone kind of like stops you and asks you a question, it actually stops and makes you think. It's like, oh my god, yeah, it's been well over like 20 years that we've known each other. Obviously, like Due South was like going on when
Due South's 30 years, isn't it now?
Maybe, yeah, but
no,
it just kind
no,
of
no, it can't be, no, it can't be,
no,
it
can't be,
years,
can't be 30, but
no, it can't
20
be, sorry.
Something,
yeah, sorry,
it's 20 something years, so yeah, it did kind of like make me stop and think from it. It's like, oh my god, like how long have we actually known each other? And yeah, so when we actually met, yeah, Due South was, I think, still on the telly, and at like, I think even like before we knew each other, there were people. Like I said to you, like, oh, there was people that I was talking to, like, Due South about. And then when we met, it was something that kind of, like, carried on. We spoke about, like, Due South and that. And I know it's, like, kind of, like, where we've got to now in the series is moved on a bit. But I don't know, it just kind of got me thinking today about, like, how long we've known each other and how long ago it's actually been since this program's been on.
And the funniest thing was they came over to us and did the audience participation with me and Michelle. They did. They kind of like, "Are you a couple?" "No, we're just friends." They compare, and then he goes over to someone else, and it's like, "Hey, what's your name?" "Hi, I'm Diane," and I'm like, "I recognize." Oh, Diana, I recognize that voice. I look over, and my physiotherapist, which I've been seeing for my broken arm, which, by the way, that's about as high as I can mention that. I'm getting there, but yeah. It's my physiotherapist, and I wave over her, and she waves back, and the compact goes, "Do you guys know each other?" And I go, "That's my physiotherapist. this, didn't she? He goes, oh, so he starts making more mileage of this. But just what were the wild coincidences that I would see my physiotherapist there? Yeah, and that's the person who we went to for audience participation straight after us.
Yeah, and we were the like first,
the only
people
there in the audience. It was a full audience. Yeah. Bizarre coincidence. So anyway, on to the episode.
Isn't this world full of them?
Is your first note, Benny being helpful?
Benny's always helpful. I know that doesn't narrow it down very much. So yeah, Benny was being helpful. I can't even remember what context that was in.
I remember
though.
There's a big chase through the streets.
There was a chase through the streets. There was this little boy, and he almost got knocked over by a car. But then this guy kind of like jumps out and grabs the boy and like stops him from being hit by the car, doesn't he? And there was a film crew there as well. Yeah. I think they were the news and they were filming as well. And then they were like, oh my God, this guy is like a hero because he stopped this like little boy from being hit.
Yeah, and Ray goes like, we have to get him. And like, I think it's Benny goes, why? And he goes, I think it's film crew.
Like, yeah, I think the film crew like, he's a hero. He's such a hero.
And I think it's Ray which adds like, oh, so, you know, he deserves to get his promise for like saving this kid. And Benny goes like, oh yeah, it is true that people like sometimes don't get the gratitude they deserve for like, and then they run after him.
I mean Benny does his usual stuff like, oh, how are we gonna find this guy? Oh well, he must have spat this bit of gum out on the floor. I'll give that a lick. And he's like licking the gum. And
you know what I said in the show of this, and I stick by this. You ladies, when you see Paul Gross, you're always going, you're always a swooning, oh, Paul Gross, isn't he hunky? Yet you see him licking something and that's an off-putting thing. I would have thought Paul Gross and a licking motion might be pleasant to you ladies.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
It depends on the situation, doesn't it? I mean, if there's a bit of gum that's been spat on the floor and he picks it up and licks it, that I don't think that's quite the erotic...
But his
the erotic vision. It's not the erotic vision most people are thinking of, is it?
I'm just saying, ladies.
I mean,
I haven't considered.
We're not put off by it. Let's just say that we're not put off. But we're also not turned on by it.
Man, God, the way that guy ages well. Like, he's a silver fox is what he is. He looks no less handsome.
He's just, he is still a very handsome man. I'm not saying he's not.
I did notice in this episode, Michelle, though. Attractive as ever, but he had his hair a bit more scruffy in this episode.
Did.
I don't think Benny would be happy with that. I think Paul Gross is probably doing something else at the time. I think he'd been doing some appearances for the album, which they released at the same time as this.
Ooh,
he'd been doing
baby.
Some press on the BBC for the new show, or the new series, because the BBC partially funded it.
Yeah.
I think he'd grown out his hair a little wilder on purpose about this time.
Well, very maybe. Yeah.
But it wasn't noticeably un-Benny-like to have it just a little bit scruffy. Like,
it was longer,
episode,
wasn't it?
It was like, it was coiffured, much like my own tonight, within an inch of its life.
Yeah, it was longer.
And
than
I'm not
normal.
Saying my hair is as good as Paul Gross's. I know it's not.
Don't start the ladies off out there.
I'll leave that to Paul Gross.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. His hair was a little bit longer. It wasn't as sleek as it normally is.
It's military, quite frankly.
Yeah, but he was looking good, so I don't think we were complaining.
But I did enjoy it. When they're doing this chase, you've got one scene where Paul Gross is doing his usual job as Benny and jumping out the window, and you've got the film crew there waiting for him to jump out. It's really nice. And they end up catching up with the guy, but he pulls a gun and then Ray takes him in. That's not going to be popular.
Oh, we've gone in the dark.
Michelle, what did you
do yourself in the dark.
Genuinely, we have no idea why that just happened. So that's good.
Dun, dun, dun.
So sorry. I've just found out that through most of the record, we have had a background buzz.
Have we?
And I'm so sorry. I hope I can save most of this episode, but I'm so sorry. We haven't got any backup recording. So, Michelle, we'll keep on going, but we might have to re-record some of this.
Okay,
later.
If we need to re-record,
I'm
we can,
so sorry. But... Thank you. Whoever has put the comment
I only just realized you're alive and I can hear is a loud continuous noise. Sorry, I can't listen.
Oh,
whoever you are, if okay. you are at all listening or able to hear this, I'm so sorry. We should have now regular broadcasting. Because I was hearing Michelle. Sorry, one second. Oh, thing caught up. Because I was hearing Michelle back, I took off my headphones and I must at some point disturb the mixing board and a wire's got loose. So I'm so sorry for anyone who's listening and has heard loads of background buzz. But we should be recording okay now, and me and Michelle will meet up another time to
record. Yeah, definitely.
I am so annoyed by this. But anyway, yeah, we'll just continue on as best we can for anyone who's still listening and or able to. Oh, that's annoying. But anyway, okay. So Michelle, go on.
Yeah, so I don't know if people were hearing what we were just saying, but we were talking about how you know, in this episode, there are some things that Due South were just so far ahead of their times. Like when it comes to this guy that they've arrested and is clearly got some kind of like neurodivergency going on. And yeah, I probably said that wrong. Sorry.
Look, basically, yeah, we were talking about basically neurodivergency and the fact that that includes autism and ADHD and loads of other different ways of thinking and dyslexia. With dyslexia and ADHD myself. So we're just having a quick conversation about how Due South, we think, did a better job of representing that than most do. But still, there is a difference between how it was represented then to how it's represented now. So the difference between Due South and most representations of the time was that Due South, I think... did a bit more three-dimensionally. So that character had many different facets to the character. So it wasn't just that he had the ability to put shapes within shapes. He was also a very intelligent guy. He came up with plans. He did this, that, and the other. He was a more rounded character than most of the time. However, I think now you would have a character who you would see it from their viewpoint, which I don't feel like Due South went to that extent of seeing it from that guy's point of view. And I think now the portrayals are really wonderful, which you see of ADHD and autistic characters and characters who think differently. You can show them as them. So I hope that, yeah, I think that's really special. Like as someone who's learning about neurodivergency, learning about my ADHD, recontextualizing stuff I've been through in the past. Like it used to be that if you had neurodiversity, it was seen as that you were other. And I think I am a bit different and that's fine. I'm happy with being other. Sorry, being different, but I don't feel other. I feel like, you know, it's about accepting the fact that there might be differences between me and a lot of other people. But at the same time, I'm just a human being, as the rest of us are, and we have probably more in common than we have different. The metaphor which I was using, I will quickly round this up, is that it's like someone's from America and I'm from the UK, and we're having a conversation. Everything's the same, and we understand we're speaking English until someone talks about fannies, and the American doesn't understand why the British person's giggling their ass off, because fanny doesn't mean ass to us, it means something else. So that's my quick explanation. And Sarah Kirk has said, hello, Sarah. Hello again. That's a lot better. Thank you kindly. Brilliant.
Hey, hi, Sarah.
So quickly, can you summate what we've said so far about, or what we talked about?
So far, if we're going to, we'll go back to almost like the beginning where there was a little boy that was crossing the road and this guy kind of like jumps out and pulls this boy back so this boy doesn't get hit by a car. And there was a film crew around and for the news, and they were like, oh, this guy's a hero, and they want Benny to go and find this hero. So he licks a bit of gum, because why wouldn't he? the kind of stuff he does.
And as I was saying, you ladies, oh, you love a bit of Paul Gross, don't you?
until he's being gross.
But then he's licking something and that puts you off. I would have thought Paul Gross and licking might be right up your street, quite literally. I'm just saying.
So
a piece of gum, and then suddenly you're not interested.
So they track down this hero, and they find out that he's like in the witness protection, and his brother's in the FBI. And
one scene, because I was watching it back. I don't know if you picked up on this. There's one scene where his brother says, like, oh, no, you just go in. It's fine. Doesn't matter that we haven't covered this entrance.
And watching it back, it was really obvious that he was trying to... Did you pick up on anything at that point?
Yeah, that was a bit later, wasn't it?
No, I'm just curious if you picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, like a bit later.
Anyway, sorry, yeah.
But yeah, yeah, so... So this guy, my guy, is in the witness protections. They think that he's been involved in this robbery. And so, like, while he's in the station, they're just like, well, this guy just, like, he's not smart enough to do this. Because clearly there's, you know, something's going on with him. And they're like, no, this guy's just not smart enough to have done this. And as they're saying this about him, he's building this, like, intricate, like 3D kind of like puzzle of this building and everything. You can see like his brain's just like working differently, and it's like, yeah, obviously this guy is actually smart enough to do this.
And also it's like, now I don't think that would be the conversation. I don't think the conversation would be, oh, he's autistic, he must be a bit weird. It's, you know, it's Sarah Spurt, a lot riskier comments this evening, Ian, lol. Sarah, every time, trust me, it just happens to be later. I'm quite capable of making dodgy jokes at any point in the evening. And it's Squee, thank you. Detective Squee.
Detective Squee.
I don't know who this Ian fellow is. That sounds a bit weird. You hear calls themselves Ian, said Squee.
Yeah. Anyway, hello, Sarah. It's really nice to see that you're here with us. Yeah. Always great to see you here. And I feel like we should probably carry on through our book now. I feel like we've caught up.
Just peek on the mic a little bit.
So I speak into the mic. Does that help?
No, no. But you were talking into it like that. You need to.
It's like,
yeah. There you go. No, no. About that far from you. Perfect.
Thank you.
I was talking about the microphone, people.
My apologies, Dr. Squee, says Sarah.
I'm saying it's Detective Squee tonight. It's Dr. Squee when I do the other. No, that's good enough, Sarah. Thank you. You're lovely as always.
Well, we're always happy to have you here.
Always.
So now he's put me off. Where was I? Oh, 7 billion aid. I can't even speak.
Francesca. Now, you know what I love about this is, and we love to see Francesca in a new position. Michelle, not like that. We love to see Francesca in a new position. And I look forward to when she... there's another uniform which she creates for herself. And I think it's very dignified. And I'm looking forward to that dignity of her in that other outfit. What dignity is what I'm talking about?
Dignity.
I'd love to dig her nitty. No, Michelle, stop it.
I just feel like your comments have got nothing to do with dignity.
Ramon Milano, we love you.
I think Dr. Squee, Detective Squee.
Detective Squee?
Detective Squee is just enjoying Francesca and the civilian aid outfit.
I have no idea what she's talking about. I think it's Freud, quite frankly.
I think we all know what he's talking about. So, yes.
I've never had an idea what I'm talking about.
Civilian aid Elaine is going to be moving onwards and upwards into her role as a police officer.
I mean, so in her new uniform.
Francesca.
Francesca.
Ray's sister. Is moving her way onwards and upwards into the civilian aid job role.
Yep.
Is where we're at. And I think everyone's enjoying her in the role. Seems to be doing a great job.
Yeah.
She's enjoying it. I mean, other than the new Ray, who seems to be in a very bizarre position of like, should I be happy that my fake sister is in this role? It's a weird thing.
He's meant to be
playing
that he's uncomfortable with having his sister there, but he also clearly fancies her. It's a very weird place for him to be. Like, there's one bit where she's climbing up a ladder and he's like, basically.
It's like, no, it's my sister. Stop it. I can't think like this. This is my fake sister. Let's stop this. I mean, it's a bit of a weird position for him to be in, isn't it?
Sarah, but I understand. I'm sure lots of us enjoy Franny.
Well.
I say nothing. I am saying nothing.
Sarah, we say nothing.
I swear everyone in this cast just has their own individual pictures of Dorian Gray up in the attic. They none of them age like the rest of us. Like, okay, Paul Gross has aged, but he just looks more handsome and more Silver Fox.
Yeah.
Catherine Brouillet, I don't think it's really aged. Romano Milano still looks pretty much the same. I mean, just they don't age at the same rate as the rest of us. They still all look gorgeous. Oh, Tito Cray, Tony Gray, still looks amazing. Handsome Emma Ether, quite frankly. Mind you, he's a soul music legend and they never really age, they just get more handsome.
That's just where we are. Everyone just gets more handsome and more pretty as they get older,
except for this guy.
I mean, there's us here, us mere mortals
aging like a motherfucker. Sorry, Emma Ether. Sorry, you can tell it's late night. Due South by Southeast. It's 20 to midnight. Jesus Christ. Okay.
How is it that late? We need to move.
Oh. Yeah, let's move on a little bit because we wasted half the record on in not recording or recording with me in the background.
Mounty is there.
God, we have to record a lot of this again.
Weird stuff.
A lot of the cast are distinguished.
Oh,
that's
right. Okay, so they end up taking this. I can't remember what's going on now. Then, so this guy.
So helpful.
Really helpful. So this guy that they've got in custody at the moment, who was the guy that saved the boy, they take him out somewhere. There's a sniper that's like trying to take them out.
Yeah. And not to dinner.
Not to dinner. You see that the whole, like, they're trying to shoot him. There's a sniper actually trying to take him out because he was supposed to be in like witness protection. And all of a sudden he's all over the news. Yeah. So, you know, his identity is out there now. And if I'm not hearing, I can't even read my own writing anymore. This is how bad it's got.
Always promising on a podcast record.
If I'm not hearing if I'm not hearing the something correctly.
What?
I don't know.
Where is it?
If I'm not hearing the medasium, I can't even read my own writing.
I'm not hearing the mannerisms correctly. Okay, next night, Michelle.
Oh, I think we need to move
Michelle,
on.
Don't do that right into the mic.
Sorry.
I'm so sorry for anyone still listening. We're trying our best with the audio, but she isn't helping.
I'm sorry. Can't even read my own writing.
Maybe just hold the microphone just like
that. So Benny's friend, AMU. I can't read half of my writing here. This is the worst. I think this is the worst notes I've ever taken for this program.
Sniper. Third jigsaw can't something shoes.
Yeah, we did that one.
Right.
We have done
if
that.
If I'm not hearing the something correctly. Benny's friend M-U-S-U-K. A music?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that was the name of his friend?
Oh, Amusuk. Oh,
there we Amusuk. Go. There we go. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I, there was in one scene where Benny talks about when he was at school, he had two schoolmates. One was Amusuk, and one
was that
a,
was it.
A
that was
from the Nathan tribe because she had short hair. And yes. Music, I'm pretty sure, gets mentioned in other episodes. Maybe Sarah could help us with this one. There are Anusik, I think, has been mentioned previously, but I'm sure he gets mentioned past now. So I think this was one of Paul Gross's ones which he wanted to touch upon, where he'd like build a running joke. But I'm not sure if it was mentioned in previous series. So Sarah, can you remember at all? I don't know. Anyone?
Maybe it should be.
But it's nice little, they decided, because they need three people for a tribe, and there's three of them, they became a tribe. And it was a really nice little moment. Oh, and that's when they had the coat hanger. So they talked about...
Yeah, they talked about the boomerang. So the guy that had been, that was under the witness protection, he was talking about how his brother got a boomerang. So he joined
found it in a water.
Yeah, he joined a gang, and the leader of the gang wanted a boomerang, and his brother found a boomerang. But what he'd done...
Found it in a wardrobe.
Yeah, he found it in a wardrobe, is what he said. And that pleased the guy that was the leader of the gang, but then he kind of, like, later realised that...
No, you missed something. He took the boomerang out of the wardrobe to give to his brother, The leader of the gang then saw him with it and wanted it, so he took it from... Well, they had to fight for it.
Yeah.
And the leader of the gang won and took it off his brother, the witness, who we're following, who's part of the three gang with Ray and Benny.
Yeah.
Sorry. And then... And then after that... So he took it off him, and then Benny says... Or did the boomerang look something like this, taking out a coat hanger?
Yeah.
And he snapped the top off and he goes, did it look like this? And he goes, did it look like this with the top on the coat hanger? And he showed him it and he goes, oh, sort of. And then he broke off the metal bit. So it was just the sort of V shape of a coat hanger without the metal bit on top from the wood. He goes, yeah, that was exactly it. And suddenly, Benny says, I think your brother's been lying to you about a few things, not just the boomerang. And the guy just realized that he's been lied to by his brother all this time. And there's just what's your next note, actually? I'll ask before I go on ahead.
I mean, that's the thing, is it? Can I even
read it? Okay. Let me just jump on. So, the next thing we know, we're pretty much cutting to the guy is then out in the field. And, cause basically there is a moment where Benny and Ray say it's like, so we were right. Yeah. And they realize that they worked out that the brother is the informant. He is the guy who's crooked, who sold out his brother, whose plan was to rob this place, which they robbed a, what was it?
It was a bank, wasn't
bank.
It?
Yeah. And it was the brother, the younger brother with autism, it was his plan, but it was the idea of the other brother.
Yeah.
And they've realized this. And, you cut to the younger brother meeting up with the older brother and sort of challenging him. But this way of challenging him, it was going, it's like, the boomerang. You remember the boomerang? He's got, what? And he goes, the boomerang. He goes, oh, yeah. Was that really a boomerang? And that's the thing he challenges him on. And he's never questioned his brother. So even though he's just talking about boomerang, it's so significant, it's so meaningful to them that they... You're mashing your mic.
Wasn't doing anything.
It was like, oh. There you go. Anyway, so there you go. Excuse me. So he goes, yeah, so what are you lying about the microphone? It's the first time he's ever challenged his brother on anything. And then they, they get into like, oh, cool. I'm about to testify in front of the Senate in a few days, which he's due to do. And then suddenly you hear gunshots and like this battle starts. So it's everyone who's with his brother against his brother and Benny and Ray and the police, and you hear them up top, and you go to cut to the police academy with Elaine about to qualify as a cop.
Yeah.
And the person who's running it looks like a copy of the lead guy in the police academy movies, Lestard, we think it is. Can't remember exactly, but the name of whoever the commandant of the academy was. This guy looks like he is the Canadian version of him. I'm fairly sure it is a little nod to the British Academy movies. But then, yeah, they challenge each other. And there's like, Elaine's going, it's like, hey, I think I can hear gunshots. I think there's a officer under fire. He goes, in the middle of my speech? No! And Elaine ends up leading the cadets down to join, like, be the cavalry. And even Walsh goes, like, the cavalry's arrived just like the movies. And it's just such an amazing moment. They start playing Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits. It is just such a perfect use of music. There's this lovely instrumental at the beginning, and then they go into it. And, oh, God, as Sarah Kirk says here, good that Elaine trusts her instinct. Of course it is. And what a wonderful out to Elaine's character to be leading the charge in one last thing and handing over to Francesca. What were your thoughts on this bit?
Yeah, I mean, my notes that I made on this was, it was just a lovely moment, I think, especially for Elaine, because I think one of the things that they said, like once Elaine kind of goes back after, like they've made this arrest and that, and she gets her certificate or whatever for like passing her, like cadets and becoming like a fully fledged police officer. I think they kind of like make a comment about her. You're the first one to come up here and like get your certificate. You've already made your arrest. You know, she's been down there making arrests like Like, oh, during the ceremony, yeah. Hasn't she? For a...
And during it, we also get, like, when they're making the arrest, the cadets, the commandant, or whoever he is meant to be, he goes, like, oh, and what do you do next? Read the Miranda rights? Yes, very good. And then he goes up to Ray and goes, and all the cadets are on and goes, what do you do now? And he goes, kick his ass? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Was it kick him in the head or something? Yeah.
Kick him in the head, that's
right,
it.
Yeah. What do we do after what do we do after we have control of a suspect? And I think Ray goes, kick him in the head.
It is a wonderful moment. Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, it was great.
And yeah, you just, all that's left really is to say goodbye to Elaine. And then there is the most beautiful button on the episode that there has been on a G-South episode. And that's they go, it's Benny and it's the younger brother.
Yeah.
And he goes like, oh, you're going to stay in Chicago? He goes, no, I don't think I want to stay here. But if I do ever come to Chicago, I can come and pet your dog. Sure. And that's the end of the episode. Just a nice little sweet ending. Oh, God, sorry, and we've, of course, skipped over the fact that he challenges his brother. He holds a gun on his brother. He realizes that his brother is not who he thinks he is. It's not, you don't ever feel like he's turning his back on his brother, or they won't be brothers after this, and he won't visit him in prison as he's going to. But it's a wonderful moment of, like, again, this is why I feel like they've given some agency to this character, which is so important, as someone with autism who maybe in dramas didn't always get agency. He's going to go off, he's going to live his life on his own. And he challenged his brother and held a gun to him because he's realized that his brother, the thing is with people in neurodivergent, sorry, is that sometimes there will be some situations where we will know things and be able to think in a way which will be really helpful in the situation to way that people who are neurotypical won't be able to. However, there'll be other situations where some people neurotypical might be able to game us more easily because there's certain areas in which we know less. And depending on neurodivergency, what the area is may vary, as it does with all of us, because we've all got areas where we know more or less about, but there's more areas where we're prone to. We're prone in some areas to know more and we're prone in some areas to know less as neurodivergent people. And I feel like this is highlighted here. For so many years, the brother pulls the wool over his eyes, but it doesn't mean he can't learn to see when someone's doing that. And that's the moment I feel like we get to see here. And that's so important. And again, and it's a real respectful portrayal of neurodiversity or divergency. Sarah, Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms is a good choice. It's a perfect choice. Genuinely,
it was the perfect choice for that. For that point in the program, yeah.
There are so many episodes of Due South where it's really important what music they've used. You know, we all remember Possession during Victoria's Secret and Mountie on the Bounty, and there's so many other pieces of music during Due South which is so vital to the moment.
Yeah.
This is one of the later series moments. There's less of them in the later series, I've got to say, which springs to mind. But this is certainly one. I always remember Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms being played here. And to be honest with you, third series of the show, when they're just trying to reboot it, this must have probably cost them a pretty penny to get Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms. So it's really good to see they were still spending the money on the show at this stage.
Definitely, yeah. I think especially in the earlier series, that music was such an important part of the episodes of Due South. I mean, yeah, it's not normally someone that you can say, oh, it's so-and-so playing so-and-so, but the music was always important. And yeah, it made such an impact to the episodes as well. And even though that this was like a more well-known band, a more well-known song, it was perfect for that point. And, you know, normally they don't need to rely on it being like a big band of a big song, but it was just perfect for this one. But it's always something I think they've worked on throughout this program, like actually having music that impacts the actual episodes and the actual scenes that they're playing.
I believe music writing and music direction was from Jay Semko. Not only wrote a lot of music, but he talked about when I interviewed him about choosing some of the music and helping drive the music choices with Paul Haggis, and I hope and believe he still did that with Paul Gross But I can't remember. Please listen back to the interview. He probably does say at some point, but I feel like you can feel his hand on it, because he's someone not only who wrote his own music, but he worked with the Guess Who, and he's worked with so many other of these wonderful Canadian musicians who were featured, as well as those from the outside, such as Dire Straits. I don't know if he ever worked with them, but I think a lot of the musical direction was the responsibility of James Semko. So, yeah, and this was a wonderful late series reflection of that. I think the actual, the other one which springs to mind, which we'll get to, is Rook McKenzie, which is a song by Paul Gross, which is very heavily featured in the episode called Rook McKenzie, but we'll get there.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, because I'm not so familiar with the episodes that we're about to watch, it's going to be really interesting for me to kind of like see where the music kind of goes in these episodes. Is it going to be like the earlier ones where you don't necessarily know the people that have made the music, but it's impactful? Or is it going to be like the Dire Straits, is like where you kind of like pinpoint and go, oh, I know who that is, but it's great. So yeah, that's going to be interesting for me to see where that goes.
One thing I will say, we're going to wrap this up in a minute, but please, if you're watching this live, there will be a new version of this at some point. What I'll do is I'll meet up with Michelle. We'll record a new beginning to this, and we'll kind of cut them together. So there'll be a point. If you're watching this back, you'll know this if you've watched the later version. But as you're watching this live, trust me, we will re-record the earlier bit. We talked a lot of nice things about Dottie, who sadly we lost between the last recording and now, and a few other things. And we'll re-record that. Hopefully we'll keep it fresh and hopefully not sounding too rehearsed or like forced. But yeah, I look forward to giving the full version of this episode. But Michelle, one thing we always do, how many brothers in arms will you give this episode out of 10?
Oh, probably a 7. I feel like I'm at a 7. I think this was a really good, solid episode. It's not their best. It was a really good one, and there was a lot of things I really enjoyed about it. So, yeah, I feel quite comfortable with giving it a 7 out of 10.
I was thinking maybe 8. I don't think it's quite an 8, though. I'm going to go 7.5.
7.5, okay.
I mean, that's very nitpicky sounding, but it is above the average by a little bit, by quite a bit. It's one of the later classic episodes. You get to say goodbye to Elaine in a very satisfying way. You get get to introduce, Francesca in a new light. So I think it does a lot of important things. And it's good. I think a good episode for most of the cast. It's a shame we don't have more with T-Dog Craig, Tony Craig. But it's a really good episode for everyone. So 7.5 for me. But Michelle, you know what that brings us to now.
Can you give me the information I seek? And tell me what the best moments of the week are.
Thank you again, Blaine Garrison, for our jingles.
Oh, my goodness. I don't even know if I can.
So, let's start off, Michelle. What's your most best Diefenbaker moment of the week?
The only thing that kind of like springs to my mind with Diefenbaker, I think there was a moment where the guy that we're thinking might have some kind of like form of autism going on, I think he was in the back of a police car or something, and he was somewhere, and you're thinking, okay, is this guy going to be the bad guy? And then Diefenbaker kind of like puts his like head like underneath and like puts his head like onto this guy's lap, and you're kind of thinking, well, if Diefenbaker thinks this guy's all right, then he can't be all bad. Or was he in the police? I can't quite remember where he was, if he was in a car or the police station.
But... I know what you mean. And that was the moment when we did look and go, that's a new Diefenbaker. I'm fairly sure. Yes, I might be wrong, but even in the first few episodes we had so far, it looked like, to me anyway, the original Diefenbaker. I didn't notice, but this episode, straight from the beginning, I saw the light coloration in the face, and it was clearly a younger Diefenbaker. Yeah. Draco doing a wonderful job. We welcome Draco. We say goodbye to Lincoln, the wonderful. But I think, I wonder if it, I must look it up, but I wonder if it was basically not the beginning of this series, but it was a couple of episodes in where sadly we lost Lincoln, and it went over to Draco to take over the mantle of Diefenbaker. I don't know. Please do let us know if you're watching and you know this. But I'm going to give it to the episode, the moment at the end of the episode, where they're taking down all the bad guys, and Benny sends in Diefenbaker and goes, get him, and he takes down the bad guy. So that's my Deep Baker moment.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
Now we've got Michelle. What's your most American character of the week?
Oh, so right, this is good. It's going to get hard. So I don't think we're really thinking about.
I'll tell
this.
You what. Like I've got both. So what's your American? Do you want me to give mine first?
Yeah, you give yours first.
So my American and Canadian. I'll do them in one.
Yeah,
it's the brothers. So the most American of the week is the. Is he FBI or whatever he is? The agent. Who's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's the brother, he's the bad guy, basically. I think there is good in him. I think he wants to do right, but he's become driven by some of his worst instincts, as sometimes both the UK, I will admit, as well as America can do. So I believe that's why he makes me think of America. Sorry, again, I could speak to corruption in this country. So it's most British of the week. I could make the same argument for. So I'm not just being crappy to Americans. Most Canadian of the week, I'm going to leave the other brother because he's so kind, understanding. He wants to see the best in people, even if they let him down. Well, I think that's Canadian mentality of trying to see the best in people, trying to be kind, and trying to do the right thing. I think that's a very Canadian ideal, which Canada should be very proud of.
Yeah, I reckon I'm probably going to go to the same, unless I kind of go with like Francesca, because she's now American of the week, Francesca, because she's joined the American police force as a civilian aide. So good for her. She's joined that American force to look
American
up,
dream.
To look after the American people. Yeah, and maybe to live that American dream.
Nice.
And Canadian of the week. Yeah, maybe I'll go for the for the guy who saved the boy's life, and yeah, maybe he's got some neurodivergence going on. He's a good guy. He did some good, even if he previously done some bad with breaking into the building. I think he was a good guy in the end, and yeah.
Well,
we'll go for that. Yeah,
that's the episode. That's some rum drunk, and that's some God damn Due South talking about, and moments of the week assigned. We've discussed what rum we were drinking. We've discussed what mini mounties are going to be added to clubs. We've done
what
pretty
more
much
do you need, what people? You need, what people? More do you
apart
need
from
from
an audible start to the episode, which we will provide you later when we can get back together and record.
Yes.
One might be one for Skype. But we will record that and we will get that sort of for you soon. I do apologize for the audio issues earlier in the episode, which seems to be our rallying cry every time we record. But we will be back. All I can say is we hope to be back sooner this time than we were last time.
And we hope to do it more regularly as well. We're hoping for about once a month that we can actually do it.
And we promised that last time, but we really do want to stick to that. I'm now set in my new place. Life's hopefully a bit more set for both of us, and hopefully life won't get in the way again. And life may be a bit more
forgiving.
Forgiving.
A little more forgiving, please. Both of us had a lot going off on our lives. It's all been going on. We've just, you know,
been going down.
There's just been a lot going on. And I think if both of us can just have a little bit of a chill time in our personal lives, we should be able to do this a bit more regularly, do this once a month, which we're hoping. And we're hoping you can join us. And we'll have a good time. We'll watch some Due South. We'll have a little bit of a chat about it.
And I'll release them on the podcast feed as well. But in the meantime, I'm in Dr. Squee. With me, as always, has been, of course, Willow. Back there. She's back there. Oh,
no, she's not. She's not. She's down there now.
She's down there. And of course, and please let us know if you've got a nickname idea for Willow, because we need one for her for the podcast. Now that Dossie's
Civilian aid Willow.
Maybe. We did use have a civilian aid Nicola, and now we can pass on civilian aid Willow. That's not a bad one. But anyway, let us know your suggestions. Other than that, has been.
Not Detective Squee. It's been me. It's been Michelle. I'm with you. Did you hear her groaning back
then? Are you going to go
did
for
you
your
hear
full
her?
Name? Your full nickname?
What's my name?
What, Michelle? It's the name we use for you every week or every time on the podcast. It's what, Michelle? Rhymes with your name? Begins with an Auntie.
Oh, Mountie Michelle. Oh, my God.
Hey, Michelle, it's been your nickname since the beginning of the episode. So beginning of the podcast, which I believe was back in 2018, 2017.
It's been a while, yeah.
You think you... I mean, it says on the screen, Mountain Michelle. It literally says it on the screen. But you on audio.
I don't know why. I thought you wouldn't go for something else. But yeah, Mountain Michelle.
I'm sorry for this, guys. I do my best. I try and keep the show on the rails. But, you know, she doesn't give me much to work with. But anyway... Until next week, Michelle, if they had a compass and they had to keep it pointing in a direction, by the way, it's due south by southeast. If they had to keep it pointing in a direction, your name's Martin Michelle and it's due south by southeast. If they have to keep that compass pointing in any due south by southeast direction, Michelle, what direction, pray tell, would you have them keep it in? If you get this wrong, I'm going to shoot you.
I guess due west by southeast.
Oh, fuck you. She had one job. One job. See you soon.
West by west, south, north.
Thank you kindly.
South?
Oh, God, it's not ending. And she. Thank you kindly. Goodbye. Due south by south east.